glad we're doing this. I really am, because Babylon is a lesson to all of us about how quickly stuff goes away. Where's my watch? I don't have my watch. Hang on a second. I got to get my watch. I feel unclothed without it. This is my imitation gold watch that doesn't even work. No, I haven't gotten a battery for it. It has not worked for 4 years. It's merely a fashion statement, which is really tells you a lot, maybe about me. Maybe it tells you a lot about why I have such insight into these things. There's a word applied, wrongly applied to people like me, to people like you. And I begrudge that word. I don't like it. And that word is this. That word is common. I don't like that word. All the things that the world thinks are common are usually not. And the fact that somebody would call another thing common generally, I think, points to the fact that the person tossing this javelin into the heart of an unsuspecting person is actually maybe a little more special than they think they are. Because what humanity would call common is actually greatly esteemed by God. This watch, for instance, I can take it or leave it. It can disappear in an hour. It can fall down and break, and it doesn't really matter. I don't know. I don't think it costs very much. It's not gold or anything. It looks nice. It's a fashion statement. But I loved seeing those advertisements. No, those features. Maybe it was in People magazine. There's a feature where you can buy designer clothes, and they have this outfit worn by a star. Say Cher. Say Cher's wearing this dress. And, you know, it's designed by Bob Mackie. It's just an amazing creation. Makes her look like a mermaid. A princess mermaid. And then you find that you can get the same dress at TJ Maxx for $30. And it looks exactly like it. And then here's another photo of Ashley Simpson or Kate Upton. I don't know any of these people. I'm just pulling names out, putting them together and hope they match. I don't know any of these people. Wearing an ensemble, and they have this purse that's, the purse is made by, let's see, what's the name brand thing? Gucci. I'd say it's a Gucci purse, and then it's a Halston dress, let's say, and the pearls are this and that, and they list all the makers of these things, the brands, the labels that you would all know that I don't know. And you know how all these magazines do. You look at models on GQ or in Cosmopolitan or Vogue, I should say, maybe Vanity Fair, yes, and they always tell you the make of the clothing. They always give you the labels because the labels are so important. All right, so they have somebody, some starlet in this, and then right next to her they have another person dressed in clothing that looks identical, and you can't even tell the difference. It was like in the Highlights magazine when I was a kid, where you had to try to pick out 10 differences in two drawings that looked identical. And here's the starlet in the name brand gear, and here's a person from, you know, Dubuque, Iowa, wearing things that look just the same, and it costs $100. Oh, and the starlet, by the way, they add up the list. $3,400, what she's wearing, including the accessories, including the purse, the belt, the earrings, everything. And now, here's this ordinary person. $100.62. Fantastic. What's the difference? The difference is between Dubuque, Iowa and Babylon. That's the difference. It's this elitist mentality, this refinement or supposed refinement that is better than anyone else. And this I am rejecting. And I'm sorry that it exists in some people. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I'm a common man. I'm sorry, too, that that Jesus was a common man and Paul was a common man, and that the last will be first and the common will be spectacular in the coming eon. Now, Revelation 18. We've gone through all the elements here: the wine, the oil, the flour, the grain, the beast, the sheep, the horses, the coaches, and the bodies, the trafficking, sorry to say, of human souls. Now we're on to verse 14. And the fruition, this is the rant against Babylon. Who's saying this? Is it an angel? This is still amazing to me in verse 9. And the kings of the earth who commit prostitution and indulge with her will be lamenting and grieving over her. Babylon goes first because of the sickening wealth and the pride. I stood as a queen. Really now? Boom. How about now? One day. One day. That's all it takes. And the fruition of your yearning soul passed away. Listen to this. Verse 14. And the fruition of your yearning soul passed away from you, and all that is sumptuous and splendid perished from you, and they will be finding them no longer under any circumstances. Your stuff passed away. Everything that you thought was sumptuous and splendid, it died. It perished from you, and anyone looking for it will never find it again. The merchants of these things who are rich through her. Oh, she'll throw money at anything. The merchants know that, and they flock to her like vultures to a corpse. And the corpse just keeps throwing money until she dies. The merchants of these things who are rich through her will be standing afar off because of the fear of her torment, lamenting and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city clothed in cambric and purple and scarlet and gilded with gold and precious stones and pearl, for in 1 hour was desolated so much riches. That is a quote from the scripture, my friends. In 1 hour was desolated so much riches. I love that. That's Revelation 18:17. Paul's version of this is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I've alluded to it many times in the past weeks talking about Babylon. I'm finally going to go to it here. Paul says, now devoutness with contentment is great capital. For nothing do we carry into the world. It is evident that neither can we carry anything out. Great capital. We are looking at a major difference of opinion here in the scriptures of what great capital is. If you were to ask a resident of Babylon what great capital is, they would say gold, silver, precious stones, wine, flour, grain, all the food we want, all the animals we want, all the decadent riches that we want, all the designer jeans that we want, all the Vanity Fair produce that we want. And yet Paul says no. Devoutness with contentment is great capital. Devoutness is well reverence. Devoutness doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you're morally pure. It means, in the Greek, two-part Greek word, well reverence. Well reverence. Devoutness. My take on this, you're revering God. You have a good opinion of God. Well reverence. That's devoutness. Doesn't mean sometimes you won't say bad things about God or to God. I've done this. Don't fear it. Don't fear the reaper either. But then later you can apologize to God. Look, I do it all the time. I know I'm justified. That's fine. I know. But just out of a practical need to wash myself of the terrible thing I said about God, I will tell God that I'm sorry. And I don't feel bad about that. I want him to know. He knows, but I want him to know. I tell him anyway. I mean, Paul says, let your requests be made known unto God. That's Philippians 4:6. We know God already knows what we need before we ask for it, but you tell him anyway, he just wants to hear it. Likewise, he wants to hear everything, and I give him everything. Well, devoutness, cut yourself some slack there. Don't think that you have to be perfect all the time in the reverencing God department. But you know deep down in your gut, in your foundation, you love and respect God. Well, for one thing, you don't think he's going to torment most of his creation in hell for eternity. And you believe that he's in control of everything. Most of you do, I hope. Some people used to believe it and then quit. Paul says, devoutness with contentment is great capital, for nothing do we carry into the world, and it is evident that neither can we carry anything out. You can't carry anything out. And some folks, like the inhabitants of Babylon, learn this lesson before they even die. Their stuff is taken away from them while they stand on their two feet. Sometimes this happens to us. Some people have their houses burned down. Terrible. I can't imagine that. That would be a horrible. It'd be a nightmare. Some people's stuff is stolen. Their houses are broken into. When I was a kid, my house was broken into. We came home from church. Yes, I was a Catholic. My parents took me to church. We came home from church and stuff was strewn all over the floor. Terrifying feeling to have your stuff taken away. But what did our Lord say? He says, store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth doesn't eat and thief doesn't steal. And that's what I'm doing, and that's what I encourage you to do. Paul's recommending the same thing here when he says devoutness with contentment is great capital. Nobody can take your reverence for God away or your contentment. Contentment. Being content with what you have. That's a great trick. Paul said he learned how to be content in wealth and in want. I'm sure Paul, like me, stayed in people's houses who were wealthy. I've stayed in wealthy people's houses. It's great. I love it. I've also stayed in the homes of people who are not as well-to-do. I slept on a mat in a floor in an office. It's fine. I'm content either way. I've learned that. Paul said he learned to be content in all things. It's an education. You don't know it right away. It takes trial. And look how he has humanity bookended here. We don't carry anything into this world. We don't carry anything out. So you come into this world naked. You leave this world naked. And in between, you get stuff to get you by. But any sort of permanence that you attach to this stuff is an illusion. As we're seeing in Babylon, in 1 hour, her stuff is gone, never to be found again. And I think it behooves us to anticipate this kind of thing in our minds today, in our own lives. Anticipate Babylon. It was great. I told you this maybe back in the bunker, but during the Y2K scare, I wasn't worried about it. Why? Because I was already living Y2K. I mean, I was already, people were worried, oh my gosh, we're gonna be down to only our stock of food. Well, I mean, I was already living close to the bone back in those days. I was doing this job. I was supporting a wife and 3 kids, and we were living close to the bone. Y2K, had the computers crash, had we reverted to like the year 1000 or some crazy thing, it wouldn't have bothered me any. I was already living a Y2K existence, if you know what I mean. My battery's low. Hang on a second. I got to plug this thing in here. Speaking of technology, right? Yeah, speaking of technology. I'm looking down there. There's a huge roach on the floor. I had to smash it earlier today. It's the size of a college dorm refrigerator, this roach. I had to do it in. I don't like to kill anything, but I had to do it. Its carcass is still down there. I have to clean it up here. Anyway, on in 1 Timothy, devoutness with contentment is great capital. For nothing do we carry into the world. It is evident that neither can we carry anything out. That's not evident to everybody. Now, having sustenance and shelter, with these we shall be sufficed. This is the lesson that we learn through trial and through an acquaintance with God. And if we look at scriptural precedent, anytime, anywhere, we see the men and women of God living simple lives. Having sustenance and shelter. Sustenance is what you need to get by every day. Physically, food, drink. We have emotional needs. I'm not throwing those out. Physical needs, sex, food, drink. I've gone through all of this. Emotional needs, love. You need love. You need hugged. You need a pat on the back. You need a compliment once in a while. Don't think you don't need these things. You do. And shelter, of course. You need to be protected from wind, and rain, snow. With these we shall be sufficed. Now, those intending to be rich are falling into a trial and a trap. I wonder if we're seeing this in the unveiling chapter 18. and the many foolish and harmful desires which are swamping humans in extermination and destruction. For the root of all the evils is the fondness for money, which some, craving, were led astray from the faith and try themselves on all sides with much pain. Revelation 18. And the fruition of your yearning soul passed away from you, and all that is sumptuous and splendid perished from you, and they will be finding them no longer under any circumstances. The merchants of these things, who are rich through her, will be standing afar off because of the fear of her torment, lamenting and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, clothed in cambric and purple and scarlet, and gilded with gold and precious stones and pearl, for in 1 hour was desolated so much richly."